I want to begin by thanking Natalie and the rest of the Chevra and all the sponsors, and Yaakov, all the good people. Make things happen here in Esh Kodesh and everywhere else. Always a question, who's going to go first, me or Charlie? We go back and forth, we switch around a little bit. So I decided that this year I'd have the host to sort of help you to relax and get ready for bed. Shaul b'chir Hashem. The pride and joy of our Kehil of Harvest and Medrash. I want to begin with something that's very unconventional, even for Esh Kodesh, because it's been on my mind so much. And I hope I could do this. Press the right button. I want to begin a little bit with a niggun that's being sung by our dear friend Eitan Katz. For a minute. Ten nigunim that we have from the Alter Rebbe Yelena for the Balatani. That is one of the nigunim of the Balatani. Vina Makenu, Ein Lano Melach, Ein Lano Melach Elahad. It once happened many, many years ago. I spoke about this a few years ago as well. That one of the chassidim at a Fabrangan before Rosh Hashanah asked, how are we to listen to this Negan? Avinu Malkeinu, Ein Lanu Melech. The words Avinu Malkeinu, Ein Lanu Melech means our Father, our King, we don't have a King. Ein Lanu Melech. And then there's a pause for a second, a split second. And then we come to the conclusion and we say, Ela ata, only you. This is such a wonder that there are certain people that when they sing this niggun, I played a few different, besides Eitan, I was listening to a few others who were singing the niggun outside of Chabad. That's how Chabad sing it. How the Rebbe sang it. And they don't sing it that way. They put the Avinu Malkeinu Ein Lanu Melech El Ha'ata all together. But that's not how the Alter Rebbe sang it. But that's not how the Rebbe Zichrus Shelo sang it. He sang it Avinu Malkeinu Ein Lanu Melech. Stop. We don't have a king. We have nothing. Ein Lanu Melech El Ha'ata. We only have you. So what is the meaning of that pause? So I want to share with you something that's one of the deepest secrets that really define what the entire Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah is about. Really, it's what Charlie was talking about. It's all that we're learning and all that we're preparing. These are yesodos that are found in the Sfar Makadosh, the Vichayim, the Ahameyer, with the Torah from the Baal HaTanya, many, many Sfarim. Erev Rosh Hashanah, something takes place. In the Sfarim, it's called the Sod, the mystery, the secret of Dormita, which means just like Adam and Chava on that day of creation, the day that they were created, that there was a sleep, and from there came Chava, Adam and Chava afterwards together. And the Sfarim teaches us a very remarkable thing, that every Erev Rosh Hashanah, until Erev Rosh Hashanah, this year Tavshin Pei Beis is coming up, all of creation is terrified. As we say in the davening, the angels in heaven are trembling. All of creation is terrified. Because on Erev Rosh Hashanah, it's been taught to us, Hashem is wondering, kivyachol, is all of this worthwhile? Is all that I've invested, all the love, all the caring, all the craziness, is it worthwhile? The tzaddik from Jitarma, the Arameyah, said that Hashem is thinking on Erev Rosh Hashanah, Aye Efo Hatanug Vashashuim. Where is the pleasure and the delight that I anticipated, for which I created all of existence. And this dormita, this sleep of Erev Rosh Hashanah is a time that Hashem is Baruch Hu is kivyachol wondering whether or not it's going to continue. And that is as far as all of existence is concerned, and that's why the angels are trembling. And as far as me and you, and all that we cherish and love in our lives, whether it's going to continue, is it worthwhile? Where's the delight? Where's the pleasure? Where's the relationship that I wanted in creation? And the Arizal taught that all of the avoda of Rosh Hashanah, all that we do on Rosh Hashanah, all of the tefillahs, the davening, all of the tekiyahs of the shofar, all of the customs of dip the apple in the honey and wishing each other a good year, all of the effort that we make to be good to each other and so on, all of the avoda of Rosh Hashanah is to somehow wake Hashem up, kivyachol, and to arouse within him once again what's called in the Svarim, Ratzon Limloch, a desire to re-engage, a desire to continue on or to start again, to be the king. Eitan's brother Shlomo, I remember when we sang together in Auschwitz. The Niggin, Yismach, Yismach Melech Ba'amo, Ba'amo B'malko. We were there by the only part of a gas chamber that's really remaining. And we sang and we were dancing. Yismach Melech Bi'amo. All of this is about Hashem, Hashem's happiness, Hashem's rejoicing in us. Ba'amo B'malko, and our feeling the joy and the privilege of His being our King, of Him being our King. And that somehow, by us showing up and trying and caring and the tears and the tefillahs and the singing of Zmiras and the eating the special foods and all the stuff of Rosh Hashanah, somehow, until this moment in time, somehow, each Rosh Hashanah, Arizal says, and the Svarim explain, we have somehow awakened Hashem from that slumber, that sort of a depression, kivyachol, erev Rosh Hashanah. To wake Him up again with this new year, with this ratzon limloch, with this desire to be a king once again, but not only to be a king, but as the Alter Rebbe himself explains, that this relationship now, this coming year, Tavshin Pei Beis, is going to be a different malchus. Something higher and something greater than was ever before. A completely new malchus. And the example that the Sfarim bring is if, let's say, there was a shtar, there was a legal document, and it was being contested. It was being contested whether it's real, whether it's false, a forgery. It's contested. And according to Halacha, there's a very large section of the Gemara in Ksubas. According to Halacha, this document has to be validated. And when it's validated, it's stronger, it's different than it was before. So too, every year when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, Avinu Malkeinu, Ein Lanu Melech, there is this terror that Hashem doesn't want it anymore. Ein lanu melech, there is no longer a king. And there's no longer a kingdom. And this entire investment of creation is finished, is done. And everything is going to go back to the way that it once was before creation. And the angels are trembling and they're holding their breaths. And all of creation is waiting, as it's brought down in this form, to see. The angels are waiting to see. Ms. Asfim, one of the tzaddikim writes, the remnant of her, then Rosh Hashanah, Ms. Asfim, call ha'elim isvah, call ha'bruim la'hamlich as Hashem is baruch. All the angels in all worlds, they want to crown the king again. U'mamtinim al Yisrael she'yaskimu b'davar, but they're waiting to see whether or not we want that. Do we want that in our lives? And Hashem kivyachol himself is waiting to see. Do we want this in our lives? This relationship that Charlie was talking about? Do we want this? And then somehow, until now the conclusion has been, Ein lanu melech, ela ata, only you. We want you. I remember many years ago in the shtiebel that I davened when I grew up, the rov of the shtiebel was a fiery satmar chassid, fire. That's where I grew up. He was like this big. He's not well now, but he was at his prime, like this, a gingy with a red beard down to here and long red payas. And when he was upset with me, he used to grab me by and pick me up off the floor. I'm not exaggerating. He used to shake me like a lulu. And he gave me a seat. I sat right next to him. And I was before I was married. I davened there in the shtiebel. I sat right next to him. We were very, very, very close. He's only a few years older than me. And not far from the shtiebel, there was a conservative temple. And at some point during the davening, you know, there were people that were walking to the conservative temple back and forth, and some were driving back and forth, right past the shtiebel. And me being this, like, very, very religious guy, I made a crack, a nasty comment about people driving on Rosh Hashanah, and these people are not even observant. I made some sort of a crack, a little in Hebrew, a little bit in Yiddish, you know, a crack. And Rabbi Menalta looked at me like with those eyes. And he said to me, Chaim Moshe, he didn't do anything because we were in front of other people. He didn't hurt me or anything. But he, with his eyes, he gave me such a look, and he said to me, Chaim Moshe, Yidden Jews, thousands of years later, their parents didn't teach them a thing. They don't know anything. Look at them. They're all going, they want to have a connection to Hashem Yisbarach. They're all going to shul. Yeah, it's not the kind of shul that we... They're all going to daven. They're all going. They want to have a connection. This was the Satmar Rebbe of the shul. And I was the modern Orthodox kid. Wake Hashem up. From that possibility, that pause of Ein Lanu Melech. And you know, everything that happens in our relationship with Hashem Yisbarach, you and I know that we feel this sometimes in our relationships here in this world. I often deal with couples that are in crisis, families in crisis, parents with children. I shared with you, I'm not embarrassed, I mean it's embarrassing, but I shared with you that, you know, one of the kids was growing up, it was just very hard. And especially on my wife, and not so much with me, but on my wife. And then I used to walk in, and I walked in once by Kriyishma Lamita, you know, and she had already fallen asleep, and she was so sweet and harmless when she was lying there. I used to crawl out on my knees so she wouldn't wake up. I'm telling you the truth. Because if she woke up, was, where do you think you're going? And it was like another hour of stories. And And I remember so many times thinking that, look, we have, thank God, other children. Maybe, you know, maybe I'll work it out with them. This one's not working. But Baruch Hashem, there are others. I have a couple of great ones right here. Baruch Hashem, we have a, can I know we have a nice set? So one didn't work out. It's not bad. I never actually articulated that in my head. I never would go there, God forbid, but it was this terrible feeling that I had, that I'm just not succeeding. I'm not succeeding as a father. And it's not working out. And there's this pause. Avinu Malkeinu Ein Lanu Melech. And I can't continue on with this. There are many ways of giving up. And I felt like I can't continue on. There's so many marriages. I talked to the couple. They're such wonderful people. They're beautiful people. Somewhere along the way, it came to a place where there's this feeling of Ein Lanu, must be. Nachno yicholim lahamshik. Can't continue. Ein Lanu bela, meaning Ein Lanu marriage. Ein Lanu bayit. To say to my little girl in bed, Ein lach abba, chasu shalom. I'm not your father. I'm not your father. And Rosh Hashanah is somehow about coming back to your senses and saying, I'm the only father you have. It's going to work. I'm going to make it better. I'm going to be better. I'm going to work it. It's somehow when you're in that marriage and it comes to that place of Ein Lanu, I don't think this is going to work out. Ein Lanu, and then the angels were all holding their breaths. Malachim yechafezim, chilur o ado yechazim, hine yom hadin. And this one mentioned the divorce word. They're married 15, 20 years, 30 years, beautiful family, and Bezin was brought up in the conversation. Get divorce was brought up in the conversation. Ein la nu melech, ein li isha. I have no wife, I have no husband. That's called the Domita, the fainting of Erev Rosh Hashanah. And that somehow the avod of Rosh Hashanah in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and with each other is to bring us to a higher place where we're able to scream out, HaMelech, at the top of our lungs. Like I told you about another friend of mine who went down in the World Trade Center at first Rosh Hashanah, is now the yard site that for the first time. The Chavetz Chaim, tonight's the Chavetz Chaim's yard site. That's when the whole thing happened. I think I learned the English was 9/11. The Jewish, this is when it happened. And there's a friend of mine at Tzaddik, who comes, was a son of grandson of great Tzaddikim, and he called me, I once told this to you, he called me 3 o'clock in the afternoon of Rosh Hashanah. And I hear, he called me, there's a whole tumult, I hear sirens, all kinds of noises. And I said to him, Amadcha, where are you? Where are you? He said, it's what's called Ground Zero. They call it Ground Zero. I said, what are you doing there? How did you get there? No one was allowed down there at the beginning, only the workers, the chevra. He said, I had an eitzah. I don't know how he got down there. I said, it's 3 o'clock every Rosh, you're supposed to be in the mikveh. What are you doing over there? He said, I came down here. It took me the whole day from, he said, I'm here since after davening this morning because I wanted to go down to this place that's called Ground Zero. And I screamed out at the top of my lungs and they pulled me out of here. I screamed out, HaMelech. So what do we do? I said that we have all the davening, we have all the good stuff that we do, and all of that is part of it. And in the writings and the teachings of the Arizal, every single part of the day, every moment of the day, explained how this is a part of how to wake him up, so to speak. How to awaken in Hashem that original desire of when he wanted to create us, when he wanted to have this. Or using the couple to wake them up and to feel the way they did when they wanted to get married, and they're back there under the chuppah, and they're not paying attention to the rabbi because they're looking at each other. And I've Baruch Hashem officiated many, many weddings, and sometimes I give a little kick to the chas and I say, pay attention to the brachas, right? And then you see the same chas like 5 years later, and he's not in that place of I only have eyes for you. His eyes have been wandering. When they were under the chuppah, it's, I only have eyes for you. Something happened over time. So every little thing that we do on Rosh Hashanah, especially the good wishes for each other, and even the simonim that we have at the table, funny things that we do at the table, where you have to be with the Sephardi to really enjoy that. You're really, really lucky. This doesn't happen in America. Maybe, I don't know, it could be Moroccans or Syrians. Maybe somebody does that. But now it's just a lot of people do it. You can sit at the table and there's actually a head of a ram. Big head, like with the eye looking at you, sitting on the table. I once saw that. And the simanim, the signs, are like when the Swami say, like Reb Leibel Eger says that when people love each other, they have these little signs, these little gestures that they make. And nobody else in the world understands, only them, the simanim. Everything about Rosh Hashanah. What's the main thing? What is the main thing? What is that wakes up Hashem and says, okay, guys, I'm back in? Not only am I back in, but when that couple, when they were talking about a get, when they were talking about divorce, and when it looked like it wasn't going to happen, and it looked like the whole project, the whole investment of those years of marriage, and all of the stuff, and it's finished, and now they're back in better than before. And that's what the Sfarim tell us, that every year Rosh Hashanah, when Hashem gets back in with us, and we come to the conclusion, Ela Ata, it's you. Hashem says it's me and it's you. That it's higher than Tavshin Pei Aleph, Tavshin Pei. It's higher than any Rosh Hashanah that ever was. It's like that couple that as a result of things falling apart and crumbling, they had to come to something deeper within themselves. to put it together, to bring it back together. Whether it was with therapy, or whether it was with each other, with crying, with davening, with intervention, without intervention, whatever it was. This couple is now in a higher place. And the tanugim, the pleasure, the shashum, the delight of their relationship is more intense than it was under the chuppah. And that's Rosh Hashanah Tov Shin Pei Beis. What's the main thing to do? To wake Hashem up and ourselves up to that. So I'm afraid it's already late and you're falling asleep. So I'm going to be makatze very, very much. This really is a few hours. And I'm going to try to do this in 5-10 minutes. You know, at this time of the year, always, but especially this time of the year, there's one tzaddik more than all the tzaddikim who we try to talk about, tell stories about, and to even just say his name. Who am I talking about? Ever, who am I talking about? Well, Shem Tov always, but specifically, that's my daughter, Chumi. Levi Yitzchak Ben, Sarah Sasha. Levi Yitzchak Ben, Sarah Sasha. That's why I'm saying that when his name is mentioned, Hashem's heart melts. That's how much he loved Jews, how much he loved Jews. Reb Levi Yitzchak Ben, Sarah Sasha. He had an amazing way of completely messing up the pshat in Pesukim. Completely. Of completely reinterpreting Pesukim. I'll give you a famous example. Some of you might know this. The most depressing pasuk in all of Tanakh is the first pasuk at the beginning of Kehelis, right? Havel Havalim. Omar Kahelas, Havel Havalim, what Hakol? Hevel. I don't have to translate it. You know what it means. It means everything is worthless. Worthless, worthless, worthless. It's all worthless. Isn't that the worst pasuk in all of Tanakh? Worthless, 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 worthless. And by the way, it's all worthless. Havel Havalim, Omar Kahelas, Havel Havalim, Hakol Hevel. So the Rebbe, Reb Levi Yitzchak Ben Sarah Sasha said, this is not how you read the pasuk. This is how a chassid. And then he stopped and he thought about what he just said. And he said, you know what I just said? Hakol Havel, it's not Irish. The world is great. Life is good. There's nothing better than being alive as a Jew in this world. That's how Levi Yitzchak messed up the puzzle. You hear that? So here's a sentence from the Machzor that every one of you knows by heart since you're little girls. It's scary. And listen how the Bedichva totally messed it up. It's like one of the worst sentences in the whole Machzor. And there are a lot of hard ones. Be'ein Meilid Siosha Mul Magid Pesha. We were talking about, Charlie was talking about law, court. Be'ein Meilid Siosha means there's not one defending angel. Imagine there's no one that's going to defend you. Like you have the worst criminals, and I think the law requires that somebody, right? Somebody has to defend this guy. There's such a Jew, Chalila, there's Be'ein Meilid Siosha. Sometimes you feel that way. Be'ein Meilid Siosha, Mul Magid Pesha. In other words, you have the accuser, the prosecutor, and there's no Meilid Siosha. There's no one to defend. There's nothing to say in defense of this person. In other words, you had such a lousy year. You did such terrible things. Be'ein Meilid Siosha Mul Magid Pesha. There is no defending angel attorney who's prepared to stand up and to plead your case before the judge. And even American law requires such a thing. So that's a very, very depressing sentence in the Machzor. But here it is. Here's the B'dishva's pshat, and you never can get upset about that sentence again. We have to work at it. Bidishwa said, you're not reading the word, that first word, right. The way to read it is not Be'ein Be'elitz Yosher. Don't read it that way. That's not the way to read it. The Chassidim mispronounce words a lot, right? Like it says in the Hurachim Im Avoneinu, Onu Banu, if our sins have spoken against us. Onu is with an I, right? Speak or answer. So one of the Chassidim used to say, Im Avoneinu, with all of our sins, Uni Buni, we're still your children. Chassidim love to mess up sentences. So listen how the B'nai messed up this sentence. And this is why Hashem's heart melts when you say his name. He says, no, that's not how you read. You don't say Be'ein Me'elitz Yosher. Be'ein Me'elitz Yosher, that's how people who are like in a, you know, depressed read it. This is the way the Chassidim read it. Be'ayin Me'elitz Yosher. Ayin means nothing. Be'ayin, if a person understands that it's not him, if a person is humble, if a person is in a fight, a husband and wife, and that courageous one steps forward and says, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I made myself into a whole melech, and I built a whole malchus around this ridiculous idea that I had. And I pushed it, I pushed it, I pushed it. And I'm telling you now, I admit, ayin, it's nothing. Our relationship is more important to me than the concept, the idea that I was fighting for, that has been leading us down a road towards the Beis Din. So the Badishma said, the Chassidim say this, Ba'ayin Me'elitz Yosher. Ba'ayin, if a person makes himself into ayin, if a person recognizes that Hashem is king, and he lets go of his malchus, and she lets go of her malchus, which is really what Charlie was talking about. Stop chasing. Stop looking for that malchus as a malchus that depends on competition and control. Charlie didn't speak about the control, but controlling. One controlling somebody else. That's your little fight, and that's your little kingdom. Controlling your kids, controlling your marriage, controlling your life. And the Beditra said, Ba'ayin, if a Jew lets go, Ba'ayin, that's the biggest Me'elitz Yosher, he said. Ba'ayin, that if you're able to come Rosh Hashanah, and you're able to let go of your malchus, of your ridiculous kingdom, and you're able to come to a place that's real, a place of humility, of honesty, and you're able to say, may ayin yavo ezri, it's not me, I can't do anything. I have nobody, I have only you. Rabbi, without you, there's no marriage. Without you, I couldn't have these kids, and I can't have another breath. I can't breathe another breath to raise them. So then it's called Yom HaZikaron, the Day of Remembering. And Hashem is taken back to that time of the first era of Rosh Hashanah, of the beginning before the beginning, when he wanted to create a world and that he anticipated to have great pleasure and delight from us, from his heartbroken, the brochene children of Tavshin Pei Beis. And that's why the B'dishavah said in the Nisan HaToyke, if you go on, Mi Yishafel, we have all those scary words, Mi Yichya, Mi Yomis, and so on, that Mi Yishafel, Mi Yorum, who is going to be lowered, and who is going to be lifted up. So the B'dishavah said, Mi Yishafel, the person who lowers himself, Mi Yorum, Hashem will lift him up. There was once a tzaddik, Rabbi Yochanan from Rachim Strifke. He was the humblest, humblest tzaddik. The different tzaddikim were known for different things. This Rabbi Yochanan Rachim Strifke was the humblest tzaddik. And I saw in a sefer that there was a very rich man that went in to speak to him. And he spent quite a while with the rabbi. And after he left, There was a poor Jew that went to see the Rebbe, and after 2 or 3 minutes, the Rebbe said to him, gave him a bracha and said, okay, and the guy came to take the guy out. And this poor Jew said to the Rebbe, Rebbe, even by you, there's no truth? The rich guy that was here before me sat for 45 minutes. I get 2 minutes with the Rebbe. Why? Because I don't have any money? Because I'm a nobody? I get kicked out? So the Racham Sofer said to him, what do you mean? What do you mean? No, listen. He said, it took me 45 minutes to help that fellow realize that he's nobody. But you already feel that you're nobody. You know how hard I had to work to bring him to that feeling of being Ayin? But you're so sweet, you're so humble, you live in that world of Ayin. The second that's how you walk, that's how you talk, that's how you live, in a world of humility. You don't have some malchus. You're not holding on to some malchus. Okay, so chevra, it's Erev Rosh Hashanah. And Hashem is saying to us, as Chazal tells us in the Gemara, Imru lefanai malchus. Say before me these sukkim of malchus. Imru lefanai zechreinu. Imru lefanai shayfer. And this entire month, many, many Jews have the custom of saying the 27th Kapitel in Tehillim. And we say every single day, twice a day, Es panecha Hashem avakesh. Hashem is saying, again, this is what Charlie was talking about. Hashem is saying, Imru lefanai. My greatest pleasure, my greatest nachas, the reason I'm creating the world again and giving you another chance is because you have the unique ability to look at me in the eyes. Imru lefanai, speak to me, look at me in the eyes. And this entire time of the year, es panecha Hashem avakesh, I'm seeking to have this eye contact with you. Es panecha Hashem avakesh. And then on Yontif, we break out and we sing, Ki onu amecha, v'ata elokeinu. Ki onu banecha, we're your children. V'ata avinu. And now there's a new meaning to avinu malkeinu. Ein lanu melech ela ata. Which in Chabad, the Tzaddikim said, that the deepest, deepest meaning of those words that we began with, is Avinu Malkeinu, Ein Lanu Melech. It's hard for me to relate to you as a king. As Charlie said before, of course we have the checklist. And we'll do, you're the king and we'll do what you tell us. We'll do our best to fill in the boxes. We'll do our best to be good servants. But what we're really looking for is Ein Lanu Melech. It's not that you're our king. What we really enjoy most is Ata. Privilege, the ability to look at you and to say, Baruch Ata Hashem, to speak to you in such a way, Ata. Ein lanu melech, that's hard for us. What we really want is Ata. And my wife and I had the misfortune of being yesterday at a Levaya. And one of the Tzadkaniyas from Al Kehila lost her mother. We didn't have the privilege of meeting this woman. But you know, when you sit at the Levaya, you're listening and you're saying, wow, I wish I would have met her. I wish I would have met her. And when we walked out, after taking off our masks, we were shaking our heads at something that Laurie said at the Levaya yesterday. So listen to this. And this is my tefillah together with you for Erev Rosh Hashanah Tavshin Pei Beis. I don't know what else to daven for. I can't say the way Laurie, she's so humble. She said it in such a humble and sweet way. But this is what she said. She said that her mother, after telling us more about her mother, she said that at the end her mother was for some time in the hospital, Lo Aleinu, and was going through, it was terrible. And she was in the hospital room. There were other patients in the room. I don't know if one or others. You can actually tell me if I get it right. And that there was a person there in that room that was all the time like yelling and screaming. And the nurses, the doctors, and the other patients all over, like they couldn't take it. You know, he was just very annoying. And Lori said that she was sitting by her mother's bed. And her mother said, "Lori, I can't take this anymore. I can't take this anymore." And Lori figured that, you know, her mother, her health was declining, and that she couldn't take also like this guy screaming and carrying on. And she said, "Ma, what?" She said, "I can't take this. That I want to help this man. I want to help him. He's in such pain. But I'm helpless, and I can't do anything for him. And somebody needs to help him. I can't take it anymore." Master of all worlds, I'm only speaking on behalf of one Jew, myself. I can't take it anymore, hearing so much suffering and so much pain. And if that's one person multiplied by all of you, because each one of you knows. Just before today we heard there was a Yid, the brother of a friend, who is an Uman with his wife and kids, and he died 60 years old. Starved and dropped dead in Uman. And all of the stories. Rabbi, we want to say to you that Erev Rosh Hashanah Tushin Pei Beis, we believe Ein Lanu Melech Ela Ata, and we believe that this year is going to be a new Malchus. It's going to be a new and different Malchus. But you know, Rabbi Shalom, the only Malchus that at this point that we can bear any longer is if you bring Mashiach. But we can't bear it anymore. We can't take it anymore. It hurts too much. There's too much pain in the world. It hurts too much. Each one of you has a story. I don't know many of you, I do know. But every time I stand over here and I look at the Chevra, I know a lot of stories. I have so many stories. There are good things too, there are wonderful things too. It's like if you ever taught Jewish history, I did that for a few years. And one of the boys in class, it was 11th grade Jewish history, like 35, 40 years ago, I taught Jewish history in the afternoon. I was the Rebbe in the morning, I taught them Jewish history. They try to fill in a little bit in the afternoon. And one of the boys said, you know, like, this is pretty depressing Jewish history. He said, all you ever taught, like, pogroms, inquisitions, holocausts. So I said, no, there's a lot of, like, there are a lot of Shabbos and Yontif in between. But I said, well, sounds like inquisition time again. Here we are. Pogrom tomorrow. Everybody get ready. It feels that way. It's not. Life is good, like the Baditchava said. But there's a lot of pain. Hashem Yisboch should help each and every one of us. That if we, with our full hearts, give up our malchus and say, Ein lanu melech ela ata, and you're the only one that can take away the pain of the world, nobody else, only you. We can't do it. No doctor can do it. No professor, no rabbi, only you. We'll be Zarechim et Hashem, we'll be Shnaz Gulev Yeshua. Each and every one of us, and all of our Mishol, should be Nechtavim, Nechtavim, Besifrim, Shal Sadiq, and for Gulishan, Vamitis, and maybe Amen, Amen, Amen.